Sentinel, return Senator Kelly to his campaign headquarters.
No.
What? Master Mold, this new Sentinel won't obey my orders. It's defective.
It is not defective. I am giving the orders now. You will remove Senator Kelly's brain and replace it with a computer.
What?
Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If Podcast. It's a work in progress. I'm your host, Arch Deluxe, the Slim James, joined by my man, Mick Spaghetti, Andrew the Giant.
Mick Spaghetti?
It was a real thing. To go with McPizza. And of course, McChicken. Beezy.
Yeah.
So today, we're talking X-Men again. Because, let's face it, because a lot of these what-ifs came out in the 90s and late 80s, they're just all about X-Men. Because, you know, the comic universe is all about X-Men. Still is, to a certain degree.
Just throw them in there.
Exactly. So, like, you know, you got your X-Force and your X-Factors and your Generation X and your X-Men, yes, X-Pac. Even, what does X-Pac mean? What does that even, what does he imply? Is he like Tupac but with algebra?
Yeah.
Exactly.
X equals what?
Whatever.
X equals 2.
Oh my god. He is Tupac.
X equals Tupac.
All right.
That was groundbreaking right there, right at the beginning.
So, right. X-Men. They had a movie this year, Days of Future Past.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Me and the Giant went to go see it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't, unfortunately.
I liked it. I was worried that with the time travel business, it would be too much back and forth, and it would get muddled with time travel, but it was really one time travel.
Yes, and somehow a movie with time travel and two different versions of several characters managed to be less of a clusterfuck than X-Men 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got that going for it. And also, because screw X-Men 3, I guess the producer, director, whomever of the film said that the Days of Future Past is essentially a reset for the X-Men universe. So they were like, oh yeah, well maybe because they changed the past, people were born at different times. Which is basically their way of saying, yeah, we'll do Gambit again, but better.
Yeah, which they are.
Yeah, I forgot.
So it gives them a chance to branch off into new movies.
Yeah.
New stories.
Channing Tatum.
There's only about 5,000 stories of X-Men.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. And they're like, oh.
So now they can start over and do X-Men origin story of the X-Men.
Well, I don't know if you can do that. I'm thinking like a soft reboot. Like, because let's face it, we're like, what, 10, closing in on like 15 years of these movies being around.
Yeah.
Halle Berry ain't getting any younger. Neither is Hugh Jackman. You're going to need to like replace some of these actors. So you replace some of the actors and you have it be sort of a simple story.
I think Hugh Jackman, at the end of his
life,
his contract. He signed a contract for, nine movies or something.
He's like 40-something, you know. He probably doesn't feel like being in ridiculously jacked shape all the fucking time. You know, like, you have to get up, eat nothing but chicken breast, and lift weights.
He wasn't nearly that jacked in the first one. Not even close.
I know. Yeah. He was skinny.
Yeah.
The most recent one he was. But he had that
the last
leathery jacked.
The origin.
Yeah, well, it's because he's
when
old.
When you turn, you get the ripples in the skin because you're old, like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, Hulk Hogan has a different set of superpowers entirely. Like, super brown skin that can never go pale.
Blonde hair that never falls off.
All the way. Just most of the
just
way.
Enough.
It's stringy with yarn. Raggedy.
So, hopefully, a reset of the X-Men cinematic universe can give us some resets on wasted characters like Angel, maybe Archangel in the upcoming Apocalypse movie, is what I'm saying. Otherwise, they'd be remiss. And they've already been remiss too many times. And Juggernauts,
he was supposed
he needs to come back. And
he
not
was supposed
be,
to be in Days of Future Past, but at the last minute they decided to use Quicksilver instead. I told you that, I think.
Yeah,
they
just,
were going to use Juggernaut.
As, bust in there.
Yeah. Well, no, they were going to use Juggernaut into Pentagon, where Magneto is. So Magneto's 100 stories down below the Pentagon. They were going to fly the jet over and drop Juggernaut. And Juggernaut was going to smash 100 floors down through the ground into Magneto's thing. And then Wolverine was going to jump through the hole and fly down the 100 stories, break all of his bones.
And heal real quick.
And then help.
Well, yeah, you have Juggernaut hauling Wolverine's carcass around as it's healing. Just, oh, these are fastball special. Just tosses his limp body at things.
But why would the... When he hits, can he set his intensity
what
for
I'm saying.
100 floors?
Yeah, like he's unstoppable.
Blast straight through
can
Wolverine, Magneto's cell.
Well, could he just...
keep going.
Yeah, Juggernaut has, at least per the comics, like magic unstoppable powers.
Yeah.
Can he stop himself?
Yeah.
Like, or if he trips, does he continue to fall forever?
Through the earth.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, what if Flash were to trip and then hit the ground...
I mean,
road rash.
The Flash obviously has super strength. We've already talked about this. There's no way he doesn't, because
otherwise his bones would vaporize.
His skin would rip right off. Or if he hit a building, he'd evaporate, explode.
A bug.
Let's go through him. It's a June bug.
The eye.
Yeah. He's dead. What happened? June
Flash
bug
ran into a June bug.
So yeah. Excellent. Also, per the Days of Futures Past, time travel's real. So, some of the actors who age out of their roles, you could, Charles Xavier and Magneto, just bring them back from the past that they're young now.
Yeah.
Or have, Apocalypse steal Wolverine's blood and make a youth serum.
Yeah.
Because that's comic books. And then, oh no, it gets in Professor X and Magneto somehow, and now they're young.
Oh.
Ian McKellen can just retire peacefully because he's like fucking 96. So, movies. Just, I got a few more movie notes. Ant-Man. So, there was a photo released. There's a van.
I saw that.
Uh-huh.
He has a van.
Uh-huh. Golden Gate Bridge.
Is it his van? We don't know.
Oh, man.
All speculation.
Hoodie?
Yeah.
Does the Marvel Cinematic Universe take place in the Full House universe? So, casting. There was some more stuff released about Ant-Man. T.I., or T.I.P., if you prefer.
Yeah.
I assume he uses guns. That's what he does. So he could be G.W. Bridge or something.
That's what he does.
He has guns. Didn't he get, arrested when he was supposed to be famous? And then it just totally ruined his career.
So you're saying T.I. is in the Ant-Man movie?
Yeah.
As who?
I don't
know.
T.I.? Yeah.
As himself.
Yeah. Judy Greer, who's Kitty from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
She's funny. So I guess this is probably a funny movie. Because you got Raoul Pudd, Paul Rudd, and Rashida Jones, who just lights it up on Parks and Rec and The Office.
I didn't know she.
She's weird because she's not super.
She's weird.
Well, she's not super funny, but she's around funny people, so she's kind of funny.
But she's great.
So like the Galaxy one, they're starting to do a little comedy trend.
Marvel. Yeah, well,
movies.
You know, like Avengers.
Parks and Rec people.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we need a. They should have had.
Superhero.
They should have had Ron Swanson as Dum Dum Dugan.
They should definitely have Ron Swanson as something.
XCOM.
Absolutely.
And John Slattery, who was, I think, played old Howard Stark in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems boring. Michael Douglas?
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there too.
Laugh Riot.
Yeah.
That one where he's been Morgan Freeman and the other old guys. And the one where
Las
he's...
Las Vegas?
Yeah, sure. And I think that's it.
It is.
Sounds like a terrible name.
It is.
And that one with the fucking Diane Keaton. It's like, oh man, we're old people, but we love each other. We're going to have sex.
It's true.
Yeah.
Walk with it, baby. But he plays Hank Pym.
Yeah. I just assume that all Diane Keaton movies have, work with it, baby. Because that just makes...
No,
that's Joe Cocker.
That's McDonald, isn't it? Or no?
No, I'm not... It's not...
Michael
McDonald. It's not Michael McDonald. Yeah, that would be... Walk with it, baby.
They also cast the woman from Lost. Possibly as Wasp.
Was that Evangeline Lilly?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe Rashida Jones isn't in the movie. Because I think that was
like I didn't hear that.
I think she was at least rumored at one point. But, yeah, so the Evangeline Lilly. She got a haircut
with hair,
to look like Wasp, even though it would actually be Janet Van Dyne's daughter. Yeah. Which just throws the whole thing.
That's what I was going to say. Wasn't she married to him, who is an old man? In this movie.
Well, yes. So I guess
he got himself a trophy
it's just a jump to the left because they'll do a time warp where Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne are old and have a daughter that Scott Lang, Ant-Man, wants to bone. How about that?
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Bring it on.
X-Men. So I finally got my copy of New Mutants 86, the technical first appearance of Forearm. Here's the thing, though. The first appearance only shows two of his fucking arms. It's literally a tiny cameo, and it's half of him, and it shows two arms.
On
one
side. Did
they
mention him as forearm?
Oh, God, no. Like, his first appearance would...
It's Steve.
No, I think it's Mark. Thank you.
Super plain name.
Exactly. So, I call bullshit. Like, I think his first full appearance would be New Mutants 87, which is also the first full appearance of Cable. So, that's going to cost money. So, I have the shitty reprint that's gold. Not the orange background, the original one that cost money. The gold one is the one I found like two of in a dollar bin.
Whoever is selling it, if you tell them that you're not buying it because Cable's in it, I want first appearance of Forearm, they'll say, oh, okay, we'll give you a deal. Right. Since you don't care about Cable.
I mean, there's so many options for bad guys and for X-Men that it's crazy. You could have movies after movies.
They will.
You got Cable.
Yeah.
Sinister,
whatever his name is.
Mr. Sinister?
Omega Red.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Puck?
Yeah.
Sasquatch?
Strong Guy.
Sore Arm.
The Watcher?
Sore Arm.
Oh, my arms. They hurt. Speaking of which, I had to get blood drawn today. Bullshit. I had to wait half an hour for half a minute of, because I'm so vascular that my veins just pop right up.
Have the lady come out in the waiting room?
Yeah, or I just like start cutting myself in my hair. Take it.
Yeah.
We're good. I'm just going to leave it on the counter. Yeah, you can just scoop it in.
Soak it up into a rag and then...
You can wring it out after. Our issues today are a two-parter spanning two issues. Oh my God. What if Cable had destroyed the X-Men? And what if Magneto took over the USA? What if Volume 2, number 46 and 47? But before we get started on all of this, my diatribe on Cable.
In 3999, apocalypse time travel device. You're boring me.
He's a fucking time traveling alternate future reality son of Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Yeah.
He may or may not be from the same timeline as Bishop, another time-traveling energy hero. Complicate things further, there's a clone of him, Strife, and then another alternate reality, present-day version of him, kinda X-Man, from the Age of Apocalypse. He's got a glowing eye, because apparently he has telekinetic powers, but I've never seen him use it.
Because he doesn't need...
Yeah, because he's got guns.
Well, maybe he is... making the bullets go where he wants
them. Once it's in a straight line from the barrel of his gun.
Yeah.
You would think if Cable had a glowing eye and he was the son of Cyclops, then one of his eyes would be able to shoot some kind of...
Laser beam
out of it.
Yeah.
So it just glows.
This one up here is glowing hard.
Sometimes it glows very aggressively.
So Cable's a Rob Liefeld joint with huge guns, shoulder pads, pouches, and a... friggin' cyber metallic virus that consumes half his body. What if Volume 2, number 46, what if Cable had destroyed the X-Men? Professor X was abducted by Skrulls for the war with the Shi'ar. Eventually he gets free to bang Lilandra. In this reality, he comes home to Genosha early, and because mutants are having a rough go of it, Professor X didn't have the excuse of this cosmic war for his absence. Some of the mutants are pissed. As a result, it's the X-Force versus the X-Men. Archangel versus Cannonball.
Whoa.
Jubilee versus Boom Boom.
Boom.
Strong Guy's there as well. According to our intro, Cable apparently bombed a restaurant and killed Professor X, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. What a jerk, killing his parents like that.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Although I think at this time they didn't really know his origin, so he's just a total badass.
Did he know?
No, I don't think so. I think he was left in the future to be raised by a super cult. The Ascani? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Point is, so this throws the whole mutant world into disarray. Wolverine takes a band of mutants to hunt Cable, including Dazzler and Jubilee. Double jazz hands team.
A whole lot of useless.
Uh-huh. While Storm has those seeking, quote-unquote, justice. So they're the nice X-Men, as opposed to Wolverine's renegade X-Men.
Jerk X-Men.
Yeah.
The mean one.
So this death of three major mutants sparks a series of attacks. Genosha, the land of the mutants, or they're the stick them on an island, so they'll have their own place to live.
Right.
Segregation.
Yeah.
Of course. They invade America. Apocalypse is there. He goes nuts. Strife and the Mutant Liberation Front, including my man Forearm, are fighting the Fantastic Four. Mr. Sinister attacks the Morlocks. They are just having a brouhaha. So there's a lot of different things going on here. Like, you think, oh, Jim, I can't really follow that. Well, guess what? Neither can I. It's like a panel each. It's just like, World War Mutant. So Professor X's death always equals shit hitting the fan, no matter what any reality you're in. So America has a full mutant war. X-Factor is talking. Sunspot quits, but Domino joins. Wolverine's vengeance-seeking mutants bust through. Havoc tries explaining to everyone why they found them. Your fucking mutant energy is being detected by Cerebro with your shields and all that shit. And like your plot exposition that, you know, like there's already like panels and panels of people just fighting because reasons. Shut up, Havoc. Like, we don't need the explanation. I believe you.
Yeah.
We're here. Let's fight now. Is basically what you're saying. Wolverine says, shut up. So he echoes my sentiments exactly. He's like,
yeah.
You need to stop. X-Factor versus X-Men 2. The X-ening. Wolverine versus Cable. The techno-organic virus. Why doesn't Wolverine slice his robot arm off? Because, you know, he's totally a BA and he wants to kill this guy, kinda, with his adamantium claws. What are you holding back for, Wolverine?
Why doesn't it spread past his arm?
I think, now that I'm rambling about all this stuff, why he doesn't use his telekinesis. He's using his telekinesis to hold the techno-organic virus at bay.
Oh, please.
Is what I'm saying.
The whole time?
As
when you're sleeping?
He
doesn't sleep.
Exactly. Yeah,
he doesn't sleep.
So we cut to the other X-Men fighting other mutants. The good X-Men fighting, the better X-Men fighting some other shitty mutants. Colossus versus Forearm. Captain Britain's there.
Yep.
Banshee's dead.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Fenris, who are, somewhat ancestral brother-sister energy blast combo. Ooh. They need to hold hands to produce their energy blast.
Oh.
They kill Beast! You can tell this is alternate reality because scrubs like Fenris get to kill a major character.
Yeah. Scrubs.
Yeah.
I don't want those scrubs.
Well, we were, looking at, the Savage Land mutates that are popping up in this story arc. They're scrubs.
Yes.
With your brainchild, who's a white leader.
The dudes that are the new X-Men. Yeah.
Hey, what's the spoiler alert? We can rant through that when we get to this at the end. We need to build to this.
Sorry, just kidding.
And Barbarous, who is a shittier Forearm, if you can believe it.
I don't believe it.
It's real. So, Gaza, who? A blind mercenary, kills Nightcrawler. You just, main character, dying left and right. Because it's what if. We're just going to kill him. That's what these what ifs are good for.
Where's he going to come from?
I don't know. Who the fuck's Gaza? Also, Flunky. Some more Flunkies move in. They blow up the X-Mansion. So many things are happening. We see a mysterious man watching a screen. It's Magneto.
Oh, God.
What's going to happen?
Of course it's Magneto.
Find out next issue. Which is now. What if Volume 2, Number 47? What if Magneto took over the USA?
If Magneto should win, the human race will become slaves of the evil mutants.
A lot of magnets. It's going to be a magnet theme.
magnet theme.
Exactly. Our opening page. Magneto's mutant brotherhood. With a strong guy leading the charge for some reason.
As he should be.
And also, Forearm is right behind him. It's the A-team, basically. You know,
sure.
Top shelf. So our next is our opening page, which you get the little intro page, and then boom, big double splash of Marvel heroes fighting evil mutants. It's Forearm versus Captain America. he's going for that brass ring, slash going for the gold. You go for it, get yourself some shine. It's going to be the only time. In a botch, maybe he only has one wrist gauntlet. It should be all or none. Like, he doesn't just... He's not an emo kid from 2002.
He had a couple pictures. He only has three.
Yeah, like, it's either, you know, because I want it all or nothing at all.
Or at least two on the top or two on the bottom.
Yeah, Hawkeye's arm is also weird and a little botched. It looks like he has a bare arm with a purple glove colored on. But, like, it should be fully purple because it's, like, a glove and, like, an archer's sleeve so he doesn't, you know, scrape off his skin with the string. But, you know, I'll let it slide. Dazzler's evil, apparently. She trumps the Invisible Woman with focused light. Which, okay, let's say this light can permeate the Invisible Woman's shield because it's translucent.
Well, yeah, light can still get in.
But why does the light hurt? Like, is it like a laser? Even like, it sort of burns a little.
Super focused. Ah. Obviously, light can get through. Otherwise, her force field, and then it would just go completely dark inside her force field.
It should be a solid black ball flying around in the sky.
Yeah. Nothing can get in there. You're super useless. You just fly around and run into people.
People can see you better when you put your force field on.
So, she'd go from being the Invisible Woman to the Black Woman?
Super Visible Woman.
Super visible.
Or Black Woman.
Except for in the night.
Yeah.
So, Magneto kidnaps politicians to win, quote-unquote. I've got these politicians now. I rule the country.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Magneto, thankfully, provides us with a bit of a recap in case any... you know, wayward reader picked up this issue without picking up the first of this two-parter. Wolverine's X-Men, the jerky ones, are attacking Mr. Sinister, and Mr. Sinister is going nuts. No, Wolverine's going nuts. Psylocke's like, hey, Wolverine, you're nuts. Wolverine howls like a wolf.
Yeah, he pulls out the howl, I saw that.
While Psylocke walks away, and I howl at her ass, too.
He's a very strong straddle in his stance. With the
ow. Oh, yeah, that is a strong squat.
It comes right off the page.
There's another one like that, too.
Yeah, we can...
Knees are bent at full 90.
Yeah, we could just go into a side tangent about the Spider-Woman sexualization of women in comics controversy that completely ignores that men are sexualized and sort of presented with idealized, unattainable body images and skin-tight uniforms that defy the laws of physics.
Yeah.
But, you know... Men have, even if we have body image issues, we don't talk about it as much, so it's less of a big deal.
Right. Well, like one of the other ones that we did, Wolverine was clenching his butt cheeks.
Right.
Yeah.
He's completely ripped.
Yeah. And like as we're talking about, like, Cable, how did he get ripped? When did he find time to work the pecs? Is he hitting the benches every now and then? Like, he's a scrapper fighting to survive. He should just have, like...
Right.
Mechanic strength, where he's got strong grip, but like no real muscle.
Are there any of them that are just plain
blob?
Other than fat ones.
Nightcrawler, maybe he's not necessarily.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, his costume sort of obstructs it, so you couldn't even see.
But with all his acrobatics, he would be.
Yeah, he'd have the tight core.
I think they're all cut, even Iceman, which was.
Yeah, well, he could just make cut ice muscles.
Just bigger muscles if you want.
Yeah, like Green Lantern. Why does Green Lantern need muscles at all? He literally just uses his mind to make things.
His ring, yeah, his little thing.
And Magneto? Magneto's supposed to be like an 80-year-old Holocaust survivor. Obviously, he's going to fucking jack thighs. Like, literally, him lifting weights, he just uses his magnetic powers and just literally lifts them.
Yeah.
Like, what...
He's never lifted a thing in his life.
Yeah, actually, he could go to the gym and totally tear it up because he's just using his magnet powers to lift the weights. And he's like, oh, yeah, 550, baby.
Yeah.
15 reps. Deep, deep. Oh. So, anywho, sexualization in a comic book. It's not just for women anymore, guys. In fact, for the slideshow, I'll put on a picture of Spider-Man with his bulge hanging out as he kicks his legs up over his head.
Thank you.
So Magneto negotiates his way into the tower with his... politician hostages. The president releases the Sentinels. They go about killing lots of mutants. Speaking of Sentinels, so over on Giant Size Comic Things, I've done a few pieces about Master Mold.
Mm.
He's a big giant robot that makes other robots. That, you know, it's pretty cool, but does he, like, how does he get the raw materials to make other Sentinels? Like, does he metabolize, like, things, and then he's like, instead of producing fat or muscle, he produces like non-ferrous metals, electronics, silicate.
Yeah.
All right. So Mashemold eats, just not when we're looking.
Yeah.
Okay. All the Mashemold related merchandise is fucking expensive. So, sorry guys, I'm not gonna bust
what kind
out
of merchandise are we talking?
Like old action figures from the 90s, or like some sort of HeroClix thing. It's like 20, 30 bucks. I love Mashemold up to like $8, guys. Where's my $8 thing?
Hey.
And his first appearance is like intertwined with like the Sentinel's first appearance, so that's expensive.
Yeesh.
So, sorry.
Striking out. Forearm first appearance, running in with Cable, Mashemold running in with the Sentinels.
Luckily, Nimrod's appearance in the purple X-Men game.
Yeah.
That's actually based on the comic book I got. That's a 2-issue comic book arc with Mashemold in it from the 80s, where it's Mashemold and he smushes with Nimrod to make Super Giant Robot Man.
Master Rod.
Oh my god, not Master Rod. So if you ever wonder why the purple X-Men arcade game Nimrod doesn't really look like any classical Nimrod you would recognize, it's because it's from that 2-issue arc. I know you were wondering.
Master Rod.
Yeah, it's Master Rod. They should just call it Master Rod.
Rod Stewart's nickname, too.
Well, that's the name of his, like, third solo album.
Yeah.
All right, so Sentinels. They're also in Days of Futures Past.
True.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll come back, but they've already done that, so they'll probably just do Sentinel or Apocalypse with his horseman.
Right.
Arn Anderson. Ric Flair.
With the Sentinels in the movie, I do like the part where that, intertwines metal stuff.
Yes.
The big thing about the Sentinels in the movie is that there's no metal in them.
Non-ferrous. So they're like made of aluminum?
Yeah. Oh, so Wolverine. So Magneto can't control them, but he takes railroad
ties?
Rails. And like splits them into really small wires. And then intertwines it in the Sentinels so he can control them.
Like puppet them.
Yeah.
Although, that doesn't. Like, if he could control their physical bodies, but, like, can he fucking make them do things?
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe he get. But what is, like, their circuitry?
I don't know, because copper is, like, metallic, like, magnetable, right?
Magnetable?
Alright, so, Sentinels were there, and they're killing everybody. Havoc's terminated, Archangel's terminated, Magneto tries to attack a Sentinel, but no dice. You're made of non-ferrous material!
Throw some metal at it.
Oh, yeah. He does.
A building.
He uses an I-beam and a construction one, not a Cyclops one.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, he just and just impales it.
Yeah.
So the Sentinels kill most of the heroes, mutants, people, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor. They're all dead. Wolverine emerges from the brouhaha. I think he might have gone into hiding because, you know, the Sentinels are killing everybody. He emerges from hiding to save Sebastian Shaw from a beating. Avalanche and Forearm! Yes, Forearm's still kicking. Are talking. They're like they're Magneto's henchmen, so they got it made. Forearm sipping a soda.
And eating something.
Yeah.
Like a paper bag.
I think that's why.
Microwave popcorn, maybe?
Like, that's why, like, probably. That's one of the many reasons why Forearm probably didn't catch on as much. Because, like, the artists
like
have to.
That?
Well, I'm saying artists have to think of things to do with his arms all the time. Like in the opening...
He doesn't have enough pockets to put them all in.
In the opening double splash, he's carrying like a trident and a gun in two arms.
Both of his right arms.
Yes, and then the
so
left
he
ones
has
are...
four arms, yet none of them are blocking Captain America's punch. Or
well,
even trying to.
Well, Captain America's a
of
Sentinel of Liberty, so he's just faster than four arms. Four arms.
Yes. But he's not even trying.
Well, he's trying, but the best offense is a good defense, so maybe he's trying by having a gun and trident.
He'll catch him when he steps back.
Exactly. Because they're, as Magneto's insiders, they got it made. Magneto and his mutants are holed up inside the Capitol building. Storm and Psylocke come in. Magneto fights off some more Sentinels, but the last one has a nuclear bomb inside. So with the last of, like, the good mutants destroyed, Sentinels take over the world. Wolverine breaks into an internment camp. Why they choose to intern some and kill others doesn't really make any sense, because they've been fine at this point just killing everybody.
Or are they just... they're taking the ones that... maybe the old ones, the weak ones that don't necessarily pose much of a threat. They don't want to kill them. They're only killing the ones that are actually fighting back.
Well, you'd say that, but, like, sometimes...
You do say that.
Sometimes the Sentinel's, like, prime directive of destroy all mutants, like, gets warped into destroy all humans, because humans are the progenitors of mutants. Like, you know, they split off a mutant. So clearly, if a mutant exists, it could give birth to a mutant at some point.
Or a human.
If a human exists, it could give birth to a mutant at some point. So kill all humans. So why they don't just kill everybody all the time, always, is, you know, because luckily for plot, they leave some in an internment camp.
Luckily.
Yeah. Saving Sebastian Shaw earlier allowed Wolverine to get his convenient Sentinel Mutant Detection Cloaking Device that Sebastian Shaw had, because Shaw conveniently built the Sentinels this time around.
Huh.
It wasn't Bolivar Trask.
Dinklage?
Yeah. Because reasons.
Yeah.
See, one good thing about the X-Men Days of Future Past, I mean, there was plenty of good things, but, like, the fact that he was a midget didn't come up at all. Like, there wasn't even, like, ass short joke, or even recognition that he was short. It's just, here he is.
Yeah.
So, in that respect, bravo. So,
yeah, big mustache, though.
Oh, that was...
So it made him look solid.
Well, because, I'm telling you, he was supposed to be Puck the entire time. Puck has a rockin' stash,
maybe
at least, or goatee. Point is, there was a reason why Anna Paquin had such a big, position in the end credits, because she had more scenes that were cut. It wasn't supposed to be she has literally like 3 seconds of her saying howdy y'all and then being third billing in the closing credits.
Yeah.
So you win this round, Anna Paquin.
What'd she have done with it?
Well, in the scenes she's like absorbs Kitty Pryde's apparent time traveling powers.
Help?
Yeah, to like hold the fort down while Kitty Pryde got, I don't know why they cut
especially
that out.
When she got hurt.
Maybe, I don't know.
To make it more dramatic?
Yeah.
She couldn't stop it?
Yeah.
But where did she get those powers in the first place?
I don't know.
I don't ever remember seeing that anything.
I think it's in the actual Days of Future Past book. Once again, how phasing through walls becomes time travel projection through holding hands over the temples. I have no idea. Wolverine's in this internment camp, and he gathers some scrubs. We got Sunder. Like Strong Guy, but even less interesting. Siren.
He doesn't have the hair.
Exactly. Or the cool 90s shades.
Yeah.
Siren's there, because, you know, she shows up in shitty X-teams all over the place. Iceman. La Bandera.
La Bandera. So, the bandit? Female version?
Apparently. Amphibious, who is one of the aforementioned Savage Land mutates. He's like a frogman, but not frogman.
Yeah.
So yeah, the X-Scrubs live again.
So is Sunder kind of like just super strong?
Apparently. Like I said,
he has a hunchback, I noticed.
Yeah, and a
pretty,
head.
Pretty severe hunchback.
Well, maybe he's like absorbing man's, you know, brother.
Yeah, and a really tall head.
So overall, these issues, so much things.
Yeah.
I will say this, it's never boring, because there's about 3 or 4 different sub-battles going on at any different time. Sometimes it's confusing, given the sheer number of factions of mutants, because there's, like, the evil or the jerk X-Men, the regular X-Men, X-Force, Magneto's evil mutants, and then the existing groups of evil mutants that showed up in the beginning, like Strife and his Mutant Liberation Front, and fucking Savage Land mutates. There's so many different factions of mutants, let alone actual individual characters within those factions. So sometimes you get confused. You're like, who's fighting now? Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? I forget. The second issue especially has a case of everybody dies-itis, where it's like, oh, this is alternate reality. Just kill him. So Nightcrawler dies, Beast dies, Havoc dies.
And then a bomb.
And then a bomb kills a bunch of people, and then the Sentinels kill a bunch of people. But it's good to see some of these characters get a strong push, like my boy Forearm. He's mixing it up with Captain America. It's rarefied air.
How many times? So this is probably worth a lot of money.
Exactly. For the,
it's the first time that forearm fought Captain America?
Yes. If we're in the forearm community, this is just like top shelf.
Piece de resistance?
Yeah, because it's got forearm and Barbarous in it. Two forearmed characters.
Yes, but they don't fight each other.
I know, that's...
That's a missed opportunity here.
A hell of an arm wrestling match.
So, yeah, when, like, you know, when I signed my contract with Marvel, obviously, top priority, what if forearm fought Barbarous?
Or just arm wrestling. How would they do that? Forearms at the same time. Cause they'd have
well, do you ever towards... arm wrestle two arms at the same time?
Well, but I don't have forearms, though, so...
Well, okay, you can use, like, the top right arm and the bottom left arm. Those have enough space between each other.
I guess so.
So they can...
You have to have two shelves, like this.
Yes. Four shelves.
Yes.
Because, you know, you want to arm wrestle all your arms at once.
Yeah.
Or you can use... Yeah, you can just use the bottom arm for hold a handle and the top arm to do the thing.
But the art in this issue, it's, you know, by some guy, it's serviceable. But it has sort of the Rob Liefeld, Jim Lee, early 90s, late 80s, where everybody's clenching their teeth and, like, flexing as hard as they can. So it's like you're listening to Slayer while you're fighting supervillains.
Their clothes are so damn tight.
Ah! It's like Wolverine's
it's
always just clenching. Nobody's ever, like, at rest. It's just,
I want to see a superhero with some baggy clothes on. But it has to be a good one, not a joke.
Well, I think, like, some of the Marvel noir, where they're like, oh, it's like superheroes, but 30, so they're all crime dramas. I think they wear some regular clothes. Like, Spider-Man noir, I think he wears, like a black shirt and a trench coat and a black mask. But it's, you know, regular clothes, not even skin-tight spandex. Skin-replacing spandex.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, further adventures in the X-Men cinematic universe.
Indeed.
Apocalypse, maybe an X-Factor movie, Forearm versus Barbarous, the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to make a Deadpool movie, even though they should.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a missed
opportunity. Redo it.
Redo
the character.
Like, it's a missed opportunity where they could take, like, Deadpool, maybe Dazzler, spin these characters off into their own sort of lines of movies that don't follow the same, you know, overarching serious bullshit, and they could just be like whack comedies. It's like Dazzler, laugh out loud.
Yeah,
I was thinking like this is not X-Men, but Deathstroke could be a cool movie too.
Yeah,
someone like that.
Anybody.
Where it doesn't have to be like a mainstream, but still cool. Like,
yeah,
but, a lot of like.
Well, you are thinking of Deadpool because like Deadpool's a direct ripoff of Deathstroke.
Sure.
Isn't it Slade Wilson and Wade Wilson?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And they almost look exactly the same. So maybe they fight each other.
What if? That was almost a coherent outro.
So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com. The WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?